Let's get to the first guest of today's show. We head right to the hotline, and we bring in Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru. Michael, as always, a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to talk to you guys again.
Well, I wanted to begin with something that I think you may agree with, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I was reading this earlier today. TV Guide's Sadie Guinness said that Chris Geer with You're the Worst deserves an Emmy. And then she used some colorful language at the end of that statement as well. Do you agree that he deserves an Emmy?
You know, I think he certainly, at the very least, should be nominated. You're the Worst was kind of a show that flew a little bit under the radar, but was really just fantastic. It ended its 5-season run on FX this spring. It's a really unique show. It's sort of a romantic comedy, but about two horrible people that probably shouldn't be in love in the first place. And it's not necessarily a family-friendly show by any means. It's definitely for adults, PG-13 at the best. But he is absolutely phenomenal on the show. It's a comedy that somehow was able to find a lot of emotional depth and a lot of like dramatic resonance out of some really pretty terrible people, but kind of paint them as humans and try and get inside of their heads. And he was really fantastic. Aya Cash, who was his fellow lead, who played Gretchen on the show, is also very good and deserving of any consideration. But yeah, I think it would be nice to see that show get a little love as it's going off the air, much the same way as The Americans did a few years ago.
Now, I know in months past and years past as well, both you and Al have picked out You're the Worst as one of your picks to click, and I've seen the previews a billion times for it. Never got around to watching it, but it's certainly going to be in the queue because now I am awfully intrigued. Well, a friend of mine told me over the weekend that Sunday nights stink without the show Billions, a show that's on Showtime, and I've heard nothing but great things about it. What is it that makes the show Billions so good?
It's just a lot of fun. You know, when it first came out, I kind of had this reaction to it of like, oh, it's a drama about finance, and I don't know anything about finance, so it really didn't appeal to me. But I'd heard such great things and started watching it. Beginning with last season, I got all caught up. And it really is one of the most entertaining shows on TV. And in fact, I'd even say that while Game of Thrones was kind of sputtering to the end there, Billions was the superior show on Sunday night. But it's really fun. Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti are fantastic. The show is equal parts funny but serious. It sort of fills a void that I think was left by shows like Mad Men and Breaking Bad, even though it's very, very different from them, just sort of that office dynamic with also sort of the serious intensity that Breaking Bad had at times. But it's really a fun show. I don't know if it's necessarily up there in like the pantheon of really fantastic TV shows, but I look forward to Sunday nights when it comes on just because it's pure enjoyment all the way.
Now, this has been around for a few seasons, right? This is the third season just wrapped up?
This is the fourth season that just wrapped up, yeah. And it has gotten better, I think, as it's gone on. They've introduced some more interesting characters. And honestly, there's really not a show on TV comparable to it right now, which I think is also a big part of the appeal.
I've always found it interesting with those movie channels like HBO and, you know, Showtime and Cinemax and all of that. You know, for years and years and years, you would go there to just watch movies. But once they realized that formula wasn't going to work anymore, they all really kind of did a wonderful job of adapting and creating their own new content. Now, HBO seems to be at the forefront of that. And maybe that's why not as many people have heard of Billions, because Showtime doesn't necessarily get the play that HBO does. Is it fair to say that?
I think so. I think that Showtime has really done a great job really in the last 10 to 15 years of trying to build up their content to match HBO's. HBO just has the benefit of this like massive name recognition, and that they were really the first premium cable network to kind of cross over into doing big award show or big award worthy shows like The Sopranos and 6 Feet Under and Sex and the City. So they kind of changed the game and became the standard for it. Not too dissimilar to the way that, you know, Netflix kind of rules the streaming world, while Amazon and Hulu are starting to find their own voice with their own original programming. But between Billions, they had Homecoming a few years ago, which was a big hit. Shameless is still one of their more popular shows. They've got a lot of new stuff coming out and are really doing their best to kind of push the envelope and build a really unique voice as a network, which I think is pretty cool.
I think that's a fantastic analogy because I think you're right. Netflix certainly gets all the recognition when it comes to streaming, even though there is some really good stuff on Amazon and on Hulu, and I think that's a great way of stating it. The fact that HBO always gets most of the recognition, whereas Showtime, Cinemax, the rest of these, they don't get the recognition HBO does. Like, for example, you ran off a few of them there. I mean, for HBO, I think of Eastbound and Down. I think of The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire. The list goes on. Yet when it comes to Showtime, I mean, you really have to dig in order to find the ones that have really kind of gotten themselves on the map.
Absolutely. They haven't had that big hit like Game of Thrones or Sopranos yet that's really set them apart. They've had great shows. I mean, Homeland was a huge hit, especially when it came out, and Billions has done very, very well for them. But they're still kind of seeking that one big tent pole that will change the conversation.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll transition now to the box office, which had a bit of a rough weekend. And well, it seems like sequels maybe beginning to run their course a little bit. I mean, the bar really couldn't have been too high for Shaft and Men in Black, right? I mean, it feels like these sequels were, well, we knew they were out there, but it didn't seem like they were very highly anticipated.
Yeah, I think I was kind of reading a little bit about the box office this morning, and I think a lot of people in the industry are starting to see that streaming is getting more and more powerful. People are more, they're happier to just stay home. They have nicer TVs and can watch pretty much anything that's available on a Netflix or a Hulu, or even just rent it on iTunes or someplace else. So you really have to have something that's unique and good, I guess, to get people into the audience, but that's kind of the trick. And we've been in this cycle for a few years where, I mean, last year you had Jurassic World, you had Mission Impossible, and you had Deadpool all making massive amounts of money on sequels. But so far this year, it's been a little rocky, I think, because there haven't been any major tentpole films that people have been excited for. I mean, Shaft, the Samuel L. Jackson reboot is, I think, gosh, like 10 years old at this point. Men in Black has tried to replace their cast and make it a little more diverse with Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth. But again, you know, it's been years since we've had one of the last Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones Men in Black movies. So I think we're starting to see what the age limit is on some of these reboots, that maybe not everything needs to be redone for a new generation. And I think we're also seeing that it's harder and harder for studios to pull people into the theaters for just kind of a casual viewing experience. If they're going to get out of the house and spend, you know, $12 or whatever it is for a nighttime movie, it's got to be something that's noteworthy and different and unique.
Now, having said all of that, I mean, there are some sequels out there I think that people will get excited about a little bit later on. I mean, Toy Story 4, I'm sure, will do extraordinarily well. But, you know, I think on the whole, you're right. You look at some of these ideas that come to the surface, whether it's a remake or a sequel, I think people are kind of getting a little bit tired of that. But is there anything at the theater right now that in your mind is really worth going out and seeing?
You know, I don't know if there's anything really to jump on. I think John Wick 3 is certainly one to check out if you've seen the other movies in that series, which are all a ton of fun. It's a great summer action flick. I think, though, you know, as we're talking about sequels, there's two really big ones that are coming out in the coming weeks that I think are actually going to do really well. Toy Story 4 comes out this weekend, and, you know, Pixar has its own proven track record, but the Toy Story movies especially are particularly do very well, and I don't see any reason to believe that it will not do well at the box office and will probably be very entertaining for the whole family and for pretty much anyone. And the other big one coming out right at 4th of July, on July 2nd, is Spider-Man Far From Home, the second of the latest iteration of Spider-Man with Tom Holland. Again, this is a Marvel movie. Now that Marvel has Spider-Man licensed from Sony, it's going to do phenomenal at the box office. They're already ramping up for it. and it's going to kind of continue. I'm pretty sure the hot streak that Avengers and Captain Marvel have had so far this summer.
Hard to believe that they will not capitalize off that momentum, no doubt about that. And, well, we're going to go to the other side of the comic book universe, to the DC side of things here. October 4th, that new Joker movie is scheduled to debut. We've learned that this will be an R-rated movie. And, boy, the story certainly seems to have a lot of potential. What are your thoughts on this?
It's going to be very unique. I think that there's a couple big question marks going into it. First of all, the biggest question, I think, is, are we going to be okay with yet another actor playing the Joker? I mean, Heath Ledger kind of made the defining role of that when he played it in The Dark Knight. And Jared Leto really kind of had a hard time living up to that in Suicide Squad from a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see if Joaquin Phoenix can kind of compete with history there and how he can do. But there's also, I think, a question of whether or not, again, audiences are tired of seeing these stories over and over again. I mean, we've seen a couple of Batman iterations in the past few years. There's another one coming out. It's in development with Robert Pattinson taking over the role. So I think there is a question of, like, are audiences tired of seeing the same Batman stories? Are they tired of seeing the third major Joker movie in the last 25 years? And, you know, that's a short period of time for basically the same story to be told in a couple different ways. So I think there's a lot of questions surrounding it. I am cautiously optimistic because the early teasers have looked like it will have its own unique voice. And it's an interesting film coming from Todd Phillips, who's best known for making the Hangover movie. So this is a big dramatic shift in tone for him. So I think he'll lend a pretty unique voice to a dramatic movie that obviously has a touch of pretty twisted humor to it.
I'm with you. I approach this with a bit of cautious optimism. I'm really excited for it based on the things I've seen and I've read, and we've got to wait a few more months for it, so we got to be patient, I guess. All right, Michael, before we let you go, my friend, we need this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
A couple things to check out. First, a new show premiered last night on HBO. It's called Euphoria, starring Zendaya. It is a HBO spin on a teenage drama. It's very dark and pretty serious, but has a pretty unique voice and certainly fits in with HBO's current programming and their whole history. So that's one worth checking out. The other one is on streaming. It's a show called Dark. The new season, the second season, comes out this weekend. It's a German show that has been overdubbed in English. It's kind of like German Stranger Things is the best pitch I can give for it, where it's sort of a small town with some weird stuff going on. And the first season's a lot of fun. It's kind of a quick, dingy watch. The overdubs really help, so you don't have to translate German the whole time or read subtitles. So worth checking that out this weekend.
Good stuff. Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks a lot. Sounds great.